Well, welcome back, class, as we are in our third session, but our second lesson, part two. My name again is Al Dumi. I'm the Executive Director of Outreach to Asian Nationals, and it is a privilege to be able to share with you the Word of God. Please be praying for our ministries. We still have people in China and in Japan, and then, of course, our partners in all of our countries. We're praying that God would keep them safe during this pandemic. I pray for our brothers and sisters here in the United States all the time, that we would be bold in our faith and strong in our witness. I hope that each one of you guys are doing well. Please remember, we have a couple that are had to come home from China because of sickness, not the pandemic, but back injury, and we just ask that you guys would pray for them. I can't put their names out because, of course, they work in China. So if you would just keep them on your hearts and prayers, I would appreciate it tremendously. Don't forget that every Friday we will be here working through the book of Ephesians until we have finished it. We're still in chapter 1. Last week we started out with Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And we can start that in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. And then he's just telling them why he's mentioning them in his prayer. But then he goes on and he tells them that my real prayer is that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. And he mentions three things that he really wants our eyes to be enlightened of. And the first one that we studied last week was that the hope of our calling, or how deep is our calling. And we started talking about, you know, what does it mean, our calling? Well, that calling is about coming out from the world and becoming a believer. It's so the first part of that is God changed our destiny. He took us out of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's something that we should never stop praising God for. I deserve hell. You deserve hell. But God says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a free gift. And that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's something that we should celebrate. We should get excited about all the time. Never forgetting where we came from and to where we are going now. And it's not because of us. And then we talked about not only that, but we went through and talked about God justified us as if I've never sinned. I'm not just forgiven. I am clean from all of my transgressions, all the things that I've done wrong against God, all because of how deep my calling is. Not only that, but I am saved to the uttermost. You know, I'm not just basically saved, but I am completely saved. There is no there's no separation between me and God anymore. And the only tarnish that I could put on our relationship is my own personal sin that I got to deal with out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not a past to sin, because when I do sin, there is a cost. That cost, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit and the fellowship I have with my Father, which is in heaven. It's not that I can just, now that I'm saved, I can do what I want, as some people believe, that we believe in eternal security, think that, you know, that's how we look at it, that it's just hell insurance or fire insurance. It's not that. It's a relationship. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us completely what does it mean to be a child of God, that as a child of God, I get the blessings of being a child of God when I do well, but I also get the discipline of a child of God when I do wrong. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, but because he'll never leave me nor forsake me, he'll never stop training me. I am predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That means it's predetermined that this is going to happen. And I have a choice then to either follow in and allow God to change me or resist it as that stubborn child that has to be dragged sometimes to obedience. Well, I would rather be a willing participant, but I was a stubborn one. I went through the chasing of the Lord more than once in my life. I've seen the hand of God. I've seen that He don't give up on His children, which is part of the deepness of our calling. What a celebration to know that I'm not just saved, but I'm eternally saved. That means I will always be with God. He's not going to walk away from me. Even if I try to walk away from Him as a prodigal son, He will be waiting for me every day, waiting for me to turn and come back to Him. And He knows that one day I will, because, again, I am predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, either here or there in the air. So please remember those things, and remember that this is the first part of our calling. And I love the fact that... to know that I am a child of God forever. But the second part of this reason to be enlightened, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, was that we have the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He says, I want you to understand your inheritance. I want you to understand who you are. A lot of people in life are, we recognize ourselves through our situation or our job. You know, you ask somebody who you are and they'll say, well, hey, my name's Bob Smith and I'm a mechanic. No, you're not. Bob Smith, if you're a child of God, you're Bob Smith, a child of God that works as a mechanic. We should never allow our inheritance to be lightened by the things of this world. We should always own up to the fact that we're a child of God. And that because I'm a child of God, I should have a different standard of my own life. And this is what he's saying, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God wants us to be willing to be moved through our salvation and on to deeper things. Salvation is our starting point. Please don't get me wrong. It is the greatest moment of my life. I remember 9 years old when I changed my life from being lost to being found, to being in darkness, to be translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. But what I want you to also understand, it's not the end of all. It is the beginning of all. It is so sad that most people that are Christians today will always go back and say, the greatest moment, if I could just go back to that day, especially when they sin, if I could just go back to that day when I got saved, that's when I was closest to God. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be walking in your salvation, growing closer to God daily. I should be closer to God today than I was last year or yesterday. I should be moving forward. I should be studying. And why? Well, because He's my Father. Now, I know as a baby, when a baby's born, they're beautiful children, normally. Just kidding. They're beautiful. And everybody wants to cuddle the baby, and everybody wants to coo the baby, and everybody... I got a grandbaby that's here right now from China I'm having a ball with. But can we communicate deeply as a baby? Does she know what her parents expect of her today? We grow up under the training of our parents. And we start to learn more and more about what they expect from us. And we hope, as parents, by the time they're old enough to know right from wrong, by the time they're ready to walk out of the house, that they know what it means to have a walk. And it's been so awesome to watch every one of my girls as they grow up. I got 5 girls. 3 of them are married. My 4th one's a senior in high school. And then I have one that's getting ready to turn 13. As I watched every girl, they started out as our baby. We watched them grow. We trained them. But before every one of our children have left the home, they have become my mom or my wife's best friend. How does that work? Were they praising the day they were born, how that was the closest they would ever be with their parents? No. They grew. And yeah, there were struggles. Parents, children, they're supposed to. Parents are supposed to set boundaries. Children are not supposed to resist, but they do because they're children. But eventually, they learn what is acceptable, and then they are able to move into a closer relationship. I'm so excited for every one of my girls that have been through their process and has been able to have mom as their confidant. And I want you to understand, I'm supposed to be closer to God today than I was when I was 9 years old and came to Christ. That wasn't the end of all. It was the beginning of all. And I'm a child of God. When you start to understand your inheritance as a child of God, it changes your life. So number one, we go from being condemned to hell, hell's out of darkness, to setting in light in the throne room of heaven. This is part of our inheritance. Look at 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I was just sharing this verse with my youngest daughter, Brianna, Nicole. And as we were going through this passage, I tried to explain to her what this in him is no darkness at all. Back in the day, when you bought a vessel or a container, it was normal for them to take a porcelain or a pottery, and if it had a crack or something, they would fill it with wax, then sand it down or get it smooth, and then when they painted it, you couldn't tell by just looking at it. So you'd have to hold it up to light, and you could see through the porcelain or through the pottery, and if there was a crack, there would be a dark spot. It would leave a dark spot because the wax was denser than the pottery. And so what they would say then is that there's darkness in this, so it's not pure. It's not good. It's not perfect. Well, in God, there is no wax. It's perfect. He is perfect. There's no darkness at all. And he says that we have the ability to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, that is something that we didn't have before Christ. Before Christ, we had to walk in darkness because that's what we were. But now, we have the choice to walk in the light as he is in the light. But not only that, part of our inheritance is the ability to come into the throne room of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and help in the time of need." We have this ability to come to our Father and ask for help. Not only that, but I just want you to understand that in Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." We have not only the right to come boldly before the throne of grace, but we are part of the family. We have an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ. Now, I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. But God bestowed that upon us anyway. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty." The greatest gift of all is the gift of family. The greatest inheritance is the gift of family. Again, the prodigal son, when he came back, he said, "I just want to be a servant in your house." But the father wouldn't have it. He said, "No, no, no, you're my son. You will always be my son." And he allowed him to come back. He said, my son was once dead, but now he's alive. He left me, but now he's back. And then I want you to see, the last thing I want you to see in this prayer is, so first of all was the depth of our calling. The second one is that to really think about, what does it mean to be a child of God? And then the third one is the power to us. God says, because of your Christianity, I've given you a new power. I've given you this. It's power that you would see in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That power, dynamis, is to do the impossible, to accomplish the unaccomplishable. Look at how he describes it in verses 19 through 23. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? We have resurrection power that has been given to us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have access to do the work of God. And when is that power mostly used in our life? Well, we find out that it is through the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We also find out in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive what? Power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We have this ability to share the gospel, and that gospel is explosive. People, the gospel is not one that people go, huh, well, that's a good choice. No, the gospel is supposed to do two things. It is either supposed to break your heart and make you accept it. In other words, the Holy Spirit uses it as a way to convict you and convince you that you need it. Or you get mad and you reject it totally. But there's not supposed to be a middle ground. Now, the way I present the gospel is not what brings the offense. It's the gospel itself. Because it has the power to bring you out of darkness, or it has the power to push you away from God because you would think that you are better off than you should be. But either way, the gospel is the power that God gave us. And that is the resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that translates me from darkness to light, that makes me a child of God, that keeps me. That's what I really love. In 1 Peter 1:5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I am so glad that I can't keep myself, that it's not my responsibility to keep myself. Now, is it my responsibility to walk with Him? Yes. Is it my responsibility to live holy life? Yes. But is it my responsibility to keep myself? I can't do it. It is the power of God that keeps me. What kind of power? Resurrection power. The power that can change death into life. Because He's already done it once in my life. Right? I was dead in my trespasses and sin. He brought me to life. We're going to look at that next week in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I was brought to life. But not only am I brought to life, but I'm kept alive by the power of God. So Paul wants us to really see that the work that lasts for eternity is accomplished through the power of God, which we have access to, only because we are the children of God. And because of the decision that we came to Christ, in the deepness of our calling, our salvation, is what brought us out of darkness by the power of God. And that power is afforded to us as we walk on this earth and as we are willing to share His words to those that are lost. Christian, if you're not in the sharing of the gospel, then you are not in the vein of the power of God. You're not using that power that God has given us. We are able to walk into a room, bring the light of the gospel that's in us, and share that gospel with somebody that's lost in that room. And God allows us to be a part of the miracle of transformation. Why would we not want to take advantage of that? I don't know about you, but I want to be in the power of God. I want my work to be in the power of God. So I asked you today, are you praying and considering how deep your calling is? Do you know how wonderful it is to be a child of God? And are you ministering and working in the power of our Father, power of God, resurrection power? I hope as we study this that you'll be challenged to ask God for these very things. Thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you today and to share the word. And just my goal is just to tempt you to get closer to God and to start to really meditate on the deeper things that God has given us. Again, we'll be celebrating next week as we study what does it mean to be quickened or to be brought to life. Praise God. Thank you so much. Please pray for us as we pray for you. Amen.